was responsible for the majority of the atrocities that took place in Northeast Syria over the last few years. We're going to talk about it on today's Hot Zone.
This is the Hot Zone. Engaging with the news in a whole new way, international war correspondent Chuck Holton brings insight into areas of crisis and lets you help those affected.
Hey folks, Chuck Holton here. We've heard a lot about the atrocities that happened by ISIS against the people of Northeast Syria and Northern Iraq. But the interesting question that hasn't been asked is who is responsible for the majority of the crimes against humanity that have taken place in that region over the last few years. My friend Ann Speckard has an interesting paper on this topic, and so I brought her on the show today to talk about it. Hi, Ann. It's good to see you again.
Great to see you too, Chuck, in lockdown down in Panama.
Right. So tell me real quick about just kind of the thrust of this paper about Assad and his forces and the amount of atrocities that really took place under Assad.
Well, it's hard to count who killed who, but the Syrian Network for Human Rights reported recently in March 2020 that Assad was responsible for 91% of the civilian casualties in Syria. So normally, all of us conjure up ISIS, you know, with their beheadings, with their torture, with their hangings, with their stonings, which ISIS did do in large numbers. But ISIS is responsible for less than 10% of the overall killings, where Assad's regime is responsible for 91%, according to this outfit. And some people, since I published the paper, have pushed back on those numbers. But all the same, even if it's 50%, this is a really bad guy.
Yeah, and that's not the numbers that we've been seeing. I mean, ISIS is the sexy story over there, and so that's what everybody has talked about. But you're right. If you look at the bombings in Idlib even more recently, if you look at the way when I was there when you and I met in February of last year, right at the end of the caliphate, we saw ISIS reduced to about a 2 square kilometer area right along the Euphrates River there in Baghouz. And then on the other side of the river was Assad's forces and the Russians. And on our side of the river were the Kurds with a few American advisors. And we saw a tremendous amount of shelling of that ISIS area by Assad's forces, even though there were tens of thousands of civilians packed into that area. What we have really seen is just that Assad's forces don't care. They don't care who they bomb. They don't care who they kill. They're just out to win territory. And would you agree with that?
I definitely would. And I would say even the ISIS people themselves told us that. And they told us the same for the Russians. They said when the U.S. coalition was bombing, if they saw something that looked civilian, they wouldn't bomb it. Mm-hmm. But the Russians would just go after everybody. So if you were moving on the road, it could be a whole group of civilians, you're dead if the Russians come. So yeah, there's just complete disregard for life. And we also have seen this reported in the press over and over again about the Russians working on behalf of Assad, bombing hospitals and other places where civilians would be. So the interesting thing for us is we looked at our whole sample. We have 239 ISIS cadres, so defectors, returnees, and prisoners that we've interviewed, and all of them in an in-depth interview, hour and a half usually. And we ask them, how did you hear about Syria? How did you hear about ISIS? How did you make your decision to travel there and join if they traveled? Some of them were Syrians, so they lived there. And amazingly, among the men, 41% had watched videos of Syrians crying out for help. And we find over and over again in our interviews that these people joined ISIS. So they joined a horrible group and they took part in it, and some of them did horrible things. But their initial motivation was to go and fight back against Assad because nobody was doing anything. And that tells you a lot for allowing conflicts in the world to play out and world powers to do nothing, especially if they're against Sunni Muslims, because this is the Al-Qaeda narrative and the ISIS narrative, that nobody cares about us, so we have to do jihad.
Mm-hmm. We wonder about that with the Kurds, because we've heard that a lot from the Kurds. The Kurds have been terribly betrayed over and over and over again, and they will fight for themselves. But you wonder, as you see that there's so many atrocities in that area, it's just such a brutal place. That
but we do have to give the Kurds credit. The SDF, as far as seeing any semblance of democracy, any semblance of human rights. I mean, the ISIS guys themselves in prison under the SDF tell me, I am not mistreated. Mm-hmm. It's overcrowded, at which, you know, the SDF doesn't have the resources. They've been begging Europeans, take your people back. And Europe's like, we don't want them, you keep them. And you have to give credit to the SDF.
You do. Yeah, and that's what I was getting at, is that of all of the groups in that area, we've seen the Iranian-led PMUs, the militia units, the Hashashabi, even the Iraqi army to some extent. We've seen a lot of atrocities take place on all sides over there, with the exception of the Kurds. And the Kurds allow much more liberal societal norms. They have a lot more freedom for women. They just seem to be so different in that place. And I wonder why that is.
They're organized. They have a dream and a vision for the future. And their dream, it came from Ocalan. So, you know, he has been judged as a terrorist. But, you know, terrorists sometimes aren't 100% bad. And his dream and his order for society was that it's free, that it's feminist, that it's democratically run from the bottom up. And that is what they are step-by-step instituting. And what they tell me is, we know that people love freedom, and we know that people love democracy. So if we're allowed to rule in our area, which they were until the US betrayed them and let Turkey come in, they said, the rest of Syria is going to want this. I mean, they're going to look at us and say, we want this, we want freedom. And of course they are, because if you stand up to Assad in any way, you're going to end up in a prison, male or female, raped, tortured, probably dead.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, do you think, let's talk about that betrayal for just a second. We can speculate on the political reasons why the U.S. would sort of repeatedly hang the Kurds out to dry when they are kind of our only friend in that, true friend in that region. Do you think, this is just a pure speculation on my part, do you think it has anything to do with the sort of radical left-wing nature of the PKK and the kind of almost communist, they seem to lean a lot toward that, and that obviously is not friendly to much of what we see as the American ideal.
I think it's 100% that Turkey's in NATO. Turkey is considered a strong ally with us, but keep in mind, when we had the invasion in Iraq, the U.S.-led coalition in Iraq, Turkey did not allow us to use their air bases. Mm-hmm. And slowly, Turkey has been shifting more towards Russia and more towards being Islamist.
Right.
And all 40 to 45,000 foreign fighters that entered into Syria came through Turkey. A lot of them got the blessings of Turkish border guards as they passed. We interviewed an ISIS emir that said, they were working hand in hand with Turkey. Yeah. They were sending their injured into Turkey to get treated. Mm-hmm. He went to Ankara, and we called him the ISIS ambassador to Turkey. And I asked him, were you an ambassador? And he said, well, we would never call it that in ISIS. So we have a long-standing relationship with Turkey. We expect Turkey to be our partner. In fact, Turkey is not a good partner. And our SDF has been an amazing partner. But Turkey accuses them of being PKK, which is a designated terrorist group. It's active in Iraq. It's active in Turkey. And there certainly are people that came out of the PKK that are part of the SDF. But that doesn't mean that they're still a part of a terrorist group. I mean, you might have, when you were 18, been part of the Shining Paths, for all I know. You know, I mean, all of us did things when we were young that, you know, we wouldn't do when we're older. Right. I hope.
Yeah, let's hope. Well, that's a very good answer, and I can tell you from personal experience that the Turks are heavily supporting the Free Syrian Army, which is ISIS 2.0, I mean, at this point. And it's more dangerous than the first ISIS because it has now artillery, tanks, drones, and F-16s and things like that. It's much more like going up up against a Western military than it was going up against ISIS, which is a bunch of yahoos with AK-47s. And so they're much more deadly now, albeit probably a little bit more controlled by Turkey. So they have them on a little bit tighter leash, perhaps. But Turkey definitely wants an ISIS sort of mini caliphate there along their border as sort of a buffer, almost like we saw, I think, in Russia back in the Soviet Union days. But that means that the Kurds, Christians, Yazidis that all lived in that area are facing ongoing persecution for the foreseeable future. Would you agree?
I definitely would agree. Afrin was a Turkish town, I mean a Kurdish town. It's now illegal to speak Kurdish. And this harks back to Turkey's past. They used to tell their Kurdish population that they would be jailed if they spoke Kurdish. Well, now in Afrin, you can't speak Kurdish. Wow. So, you know, what are the Turks doing there? It's not their country. And they've sent these occupiers, and there's all kinds of stories of rapes and human rights abuses.
We've
seen
them.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not saying the SDF has never done anything. Of course, even our own soldiers have done terrible things. You know, that's just the nature of conflict and the nature of soldiers. But for the most part, the SDF stands up for European and American standards of human rights. And they administer as best they can. So we should be their biggest supporters. I mean, if we're worried about Iran, if we're worried about Assad, we should help them as much as we can.
Well, thank you for shining a light on this. I mean, I think that it would come as some surprise to most people in American government and American citizens to know that the vast majority of the atrocities that have taken place in Syria have been at the hand of Bashar al-Assad, not at the hand of ISIS. And that's something that's news that needs to get out. So I really appreciate you coming on and talking to us about it. We'll definitely have you on again.
Okay, great.
The Hot Zone is produced by Amy Holton and Livefire Media. Copyright 2019.